Is that your radio voice?
Yeah, was it okay?
I liked it.
Or yeah. Should it be different? Should it be like...
It depends on the kind of...
That's more like my my monster truck show.
I was going to say that, yeah.
It's more monster...
Sunday!
You know why? It's because I watched a lot of monster truck shows.
I kind of always wanted to go to one.
My brother and my dad got to go, and me and my mom would have picnics in the living room and really? Watch Cinderella.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you like it? Did you have a good time?
I liked the food part. Hey friends, welcome to the 19th episode of Podcast for Good, the Washington State Combined Fund Drive's exclusive podcast channel.
That was an amazing radio voice.
I thought that was fun, and then I realized it said exclusive podcast channel as I was reading that, and I was like, wow, that's different.
I wrote that 100 years ago,
yeah,
and no one's actually ever read it.
Well, you're welcome, and I'm Jerrica Ferguson, and you are...
I'm Heather Lucas. I'm the fiscal and policy coordinator. What do you do?
Well, I do marketing and development.
Yeah. So Philip Kerrigan can't be here today. So I guess that's kind of appropriate because
it is appropriate,
today's, isn't it? Yeah, he should never come back.
Mostly because I have more fun anyways.
Yeah, you are.
Love you, Philip.
Today's topic is International Women's Day. So yeah, it does make sense that I'm joined by a lady.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, lady.
Hi.
So today we actually, we talked to a charity, Safe Place.
Yes.
And they've been on the podcast before. Today, Executive Director Sarah Lloyd joined us. I did get a little info about International Women's Day.
Read it.
Done. March 8th, International Women's Day, is a global day celebrating the social, economic, cultural, and political achievements of women. The day also marks a call to action for accelerating gender parity. International Women's Day has occurred for well over a century, with the first March 8th International Women's Day gathering supported by over 1 million people in Austria, Denmark, Germany, and Switzerland.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was over a century.
I had no idea either.
Wow.
It was, yeah. That's from the International Women's Day official website as well.
Wow.
So I didn't pull that from Wikipedia real news or anything.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah. Hashtag real news.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think we will be talking about it, but it's... What I like about International Women's Day is kind of like that kickoff to, as a reminder, mm-hmm, that like, hey, we're here, we're present, we want equality, we want certain things, and it's just that... That extra launch towards what we should have every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hit you with a question of the podcast.
Hit me with your best shot.
Damn, that was great.
Was it good?
Yeah.
Okay.
I also liked the hand gestures too. Mm. Really good.
Oh, just realized I'm going to have to like hear that in the podcast.
Yeah, I noticed that you made that face.
Yeah.
I'm keeping that. You know I'm keeping that.
Well, we'll see how I actually sound.
You're going to sound amazing.
Oh, thanks.
Hi, sweetie. You sound so great, sweetie.
Okay, hit me with your question.
So, when I first started with the Secretary of State's office, I was at the front desk.
Mm.
And on International Women's Day, my only International Women's Day memory before, you know, today's podcast, really,
right?
Because I've never really done anything, mm-hmm, specific. I've, mm-hmm, not thrown like International Women's Day parties or anything.
Oh, yeah.
I've,
that's, that should be a thing,
right?
We should do that.
Like, they also have a Pantone color on their website. It's a like, I think they called it ultraviolet,
mm-hmm,
but it's a purple color.
Okay.
So maybe on International Women's
Day,
we can wear purple,
yeah,
dressed like Prince.
You just really want to dress like Prince.
I do.
Yeah.
I really do.
I'm picking up, since we've talked about this twice today.
Oh, I do. So, so when I was at the front desk, there was a group of people from Russia who had come to see the Secretary of State at the time. And it was like almost 5 o'clock, and then it was 5, mm-hmm, o'clock, and I was like, come on, people, I gotta go.
When did you work there? How many years ago?
This was probably like 2011.
Okay.
I'd say. Maybe 2012. But, there was a group of people, and it was after 5, and I was like, dude, let's go. I mean, I gotta go. I gotta, mm-hmm, go. I wanna go. Mm-hmm. But then this lovely Russian woman came up to me, and she had this little bar of chocolate, and she said, this is for you today on International Women's Day, because every woman needs chocolate.
Aww.
And I was like, that's adorable.
Also,
I'll stay
great
here
accent
for you. Yeah, it didn't actually go into my typical Iraqi,
right,
accent. That always happens with all of my accents. They become,
right,
Iraqi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quote, random. So, yeah. So I got a chocolate from this lady on International,
well,
Women's,
nice,
Day.
So you received chocolate.
I did.
I don't think I've received anything on International Women's Day. I think I've just been told, hey, it's International Women's Day. Congrats,
yeah,
woman.
So my question on the podcast for, mm-hmm, you, mm-hmm, is what... like, this was a strange woman I'd never met, right?
Yeah.
So what nice thing has a woman done for you randomly that you didn't expect?
Ooh, that's a good question.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's a little tough. I would say the best thing that a woman has done for me...
A stranger.
Yeah. Was I received a card when I was in college from a professor that I actually didn't... It wasn't, like... I didn't know her. Like, I didn't take class from her.
Sure.
But she overheard of something I must have did in my international class or something like that. And she wrote this card to me that was essentially, like... It was just, like, a total ego boost of, like, you are doing a great job.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, you're excelling in life. And you're going to go so far after after you graduate. And, like, I knew of the teacher. And, like, I maybe have met her in passing. But I didn't. I never took a class with her.
Sure.
And it was one of those moments where I was like, oh, my gosh, I don't even know you. But this is so nice.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, that was that moment I realized that other people are watching,
yeah.
but other women are also looking out for women. And
nice.
I think it was really important for her to see a young woman, you know, going through the stresses of school and the stresses of life, and then say, like, hey, you got this, kid. Like, you're good to go.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to get through this quarter. You're going to get through graduation, and you're going to be the best.
Nice.
And it was I wish I kept it. I'm stupid. I didn't keep the card, but... yeah,
you've got like the idea in your memory still. So.
Yeah, it was pretty cool that she did that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I like that question.
Yeah, well, you're welcome.
Yeah.
So on that note, we're gonna go right to the interview with Safe Place Executive Director Sarah Lloyd. Enjoy. Okay, so we're here today with Executive Director from Safe Place, Sarah Lloyd. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
This is your second time on the podcast.
It is. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. Well, we had such fun last time. So now we're here to have more fun.
Yeah.
So you did explain before what you guys do in Safe Place, but can you give us, again, a little recap, a little history about Safe Place and what you do for the community?
Sure. So Safe Place has been around since 1981. And what we do is we support, provide support for survivors of domestic and sexual violence.
Mm-hmm.
And so all individuals, all genders, all other identities who experience sexual violence and or sexual domestic violence can come to us and get a whole host of services. We have some 24-hour services like our helpline and our shelter, and then some more like drop-in one-off services like legal advocacy and walk-in hours for advocacy support. So everything that people need, we either provide for them or get them connected to the things that they need.
Nice.
Yeah. I like that. That's awesome. Okay, so I have a question. So there's a major discussion around equality between genders. What kind of change do you think would make the largest impact?
Oof.
I know, that's a big one.
It's a big one.
Big one for the morning.
Oh, and I have so many thoughts. what kind of change would make the largest impact?
Yeah.
I think in this arena, it's easy to get caught up on minutia. And those pieces of minutia are big items. So, for instance, like equal pay. Equal pay would be huge. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see us in a place where we don't even have to talk about equal pay because we really are just actually equal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think what that takes is being willing first to have conversations and to have conversations in realms where both those who are oppressed and those who benefit from privilege are in the same room. I think sometimes we get misguided because we get powerful oppressed people who want to see change building movements that are really effective and garnering support from other oppressed individuals. But we're not wrapping in those who have privilege, who actually have the voice and the access to power to make actual change. And so I think in every movement that has seen actual forward movement, it's been garnering support from champions who also have something to lose and that they currently have access to power.
Oh.
So I think in gender roles, for instance, we need educated men who really are like, I get that I'm accessing privilege right now. I totally have something to lose because I'm benefiting right now. And it's worthwhile because I understand that the women around me deserve to have access to resources just like I do. And until we get into that space, we'll continue to have small movements that are effective in getting support, but not at dismantling a system that's built for certain people to win.
Yeah. Yeah. So there'll be like discussions about those smaller movements, but we'll kind of just slight progress every now and then, maybe a little slide back.
I really like what you said about that, where you're talking about the people that have privilege and power to actually step up and
help educate and take part in that movement to the people that have that are oppressed. Because right. I think that is perfectly put, the way you said it, because I'm stuttering. But but no, you're 100% right, though, right? Yeah. Because I think you are, like, you can see it in anything, whether, particularly with equality between genders, but almost any movement, you need both sides to be in the room and make that change.
Right. Yeah. And it's hard, right? Because I think on the oppressed side, there's limited amounts of trust in those who have privilege because they reflect for people who are oppressed a system that is keeping them down. Mm-hmm. And so the level of trust and reach out to say, like, I know that you have my back and I don't think that you'll harm me any further mm-hmm. is risky. Right. And then I think on the other side, like I said before, I think people who are currently benefiting from a system, it's hard to be like, yeah, you make way more money now and I need you to lose some money, but to right. spread it equally among yeah. everyone. And so all of us will win in the end,
yeah.
but it will look like you're losing, bottom right. line.
Yeah.
And so people willing enough to understand that as long as any of us are struggling, all of us are struggling.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's hard to find those individuals,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. No, that's very well put.
I know, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty stunning.
So that's here all deal. Week, so...
So, International Women's Day is March 8th. Mm-hmm. So, why do you think it's important to have a day like International Women's Day?
I think having International Women's Day is a really good start to bringing to focus all of the issues that women are facing mm-hmm. in our society in general. And so, I think it's an opportunity. I think with any day that we celebrate, right, we have more focus on, like, what does it really mean to show up in this space
yeah.
and to carry the weight that it means to be a woman across our world. And so I think it's really important. I think the danger of having days is that sometimes people feel like that's enough. Like, once they've put that day on the calendar, yeah. they're like,
you
check,
saw it.
Right?
Done.
We're supportive.
Yeah.
We were there, you know?
Yeah.
But I think it's really important because I don't think that there are enough places and spaces where people can really be honest about what it means to be a female identified individual mm-hmm. who's showing up in space and how that plays into everything. And sometimes I think women are carrying that weight too and not necessarily even understanding they're carrying it because
sure,
it's
yeah.
just been there from day one.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to bring to the forefront for conversation and for real important dialogue about what does it mean and where are the spaces that we can increase support for women.
Yeah.
That day is that small moment, right? Mm-hmm. And then, but it needs to continue to be expanded and expanded. And
absolutely.
If it creates more awareness, then that's a perfect platform for that, mm-hmm. but it needs to continue that.
Yeah, it can't right. just be that little
window. It can't
window.
Be that moment. Yeah. It has right. to, like, it can be that day and everyone can rally for that day, but that mm-hmm. rally needs to continue through the week mm-hmm. and through the right. month and through the year. Until we get that equality.
And ideally, we get to a point where International Women's Day exists, but it's no big deal because it's like business as usual, right?
Right.
Same with, like, Black History Month just mm-hmm. passed, right? And it's like, cool that there's a month. And, like, how do we commit to that 365 days a year? Right.
Yeah.
And so I think with all of the different movements that are rising and the days of celebration that we have, as if it can be an indicator of the bar that we're setting each year for how we're going to level up each year, mm-hmm. then let's do it. But it can't end there.
Yeah, like there's talk about the women's marches. There was mm-hmm. the one in, what, 2017 and
right.
this year. So how do you continue that movement?
Right.
Like, you can go to the march, you can be there physically, but then what do you do afterwards?
Exactly.
Right, yeah. And in that march, too, right after, there was that whole call out for what do we do now? And, I mean, the organizers for that were like, here's the numbers for your legislators. Here's mm-hmm. what we need to continue. Like, they did, like, a 60-day challenge or something like that,
right.
or 30-day challenge. And I thought that was a way that was really beneficial because I know a lot of women that I know that were not politically engaged but prior to that
right.
really did rally around.
Right.
And I thought that was a really excellent way of continuing that. But, I mean, it has to – you have to keep doing it every day
yeah.
in some form
right.
of that education. But speaking of political and climate and social climate.
Look at that.
I know, segue.
Segway.
Dun, dun, dun. Do you think that we'll be seeing more women in positions of power this year and the next few years?
Ooh. Yes.
Woo!
Get it? because we run the world, first of all.
We run
check.
But I do think that our climate is more open to having conversations about where we're falling short and supporting female identified mm-hmm. individuals. And so because of that, I think there's different waves of change, right? There's the initial, like, knee-jerk wave of, like, wait, there's a problem. Oh, my gosh, fix it. And it's not sincere change, but it does open windows.
Yeah.
And so I think for individuals who are willing to weather what that looks like to get into the, like, narrow window and then increase awareness and efficacy around that, I think that's amazing. And then there are these waves of, like, ooh, maybe we aren't ready, and then actual readiness for having female leaders. And I think our social climate across the world right now is in a place of really examining what does it mean to have women show up in different spaces and show up in the strength of what they've overcome. And I think it's starting to turn our system on its head around, like, what we have previously societally felt like is women's capacity to carry things. Mm-hmm. I think that's been the solid argument for a really long time, is that female-identified individuals can't carry what it means to be a leader in any kind of movement or any kind of space. And so as things like Me Too happen, as things as Time's Up happens, it's starting to, like, bring this awareness of not only are you navigating the everyday, but then there are all these other things that you're carrying that there was maybe no awareness of. Mm-hmm. And so the true capacity of women, I think, is coming to the surface. And with that, then a really clear picture of what we're equipped to do and what we're able to do. I think there are also powerful female leaders everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think those trailblazers have paid a really high cost to be in those places.
Yeah.
And they've cleared a road for the rest of us to follow after.
And I was just going to say, yeah, and I think that's what just needs to continue happening, is just women uplifting women in those positions and explaining what they had to go through, and then say, this is how, you know, I wish I did it maybe differently, or this is what I was subjected to, and I hope that that doesn't happen to you, and so I want to uplift you. I think finding that mentor role for a young woman in the workplace is so important for finding someone that's a director or someone in your agency or office space or company that you see as a leader, can be so beneficial to the generation that wants to keep pushing this movement forward.
Absolutely. And I think as more women gain access to that power, I think then other women have choices about connection. I think, like, growing up, for instance, me going through the school system, I don't remember ever seeing, like, a female principal.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was like, that's just not a path I have, right? So I have some other paths. I even know a few women in leadership, but I don't connect with them, or they don't look like me, or we don't have, like, the same interest area.
Yeah.
And now as more women are gaining access to privilege and power, I think there's opportunities for me to seek out someone who makes sense for me, which is a whole different level of empowering.
Mm-hmm.
I also think we're hardwired as women in this society specifically to be in competition with each other. And so finding women who are willing to say, I'm going to help you shine, and you might outshine me in this, right?
I think that's
and
difficult.
That it's totally challenging because it's like only a few of us can win, right? So you have to be strategic. But getting to a place of, like, if we really change the system and we believe that the system can change, then we inherently have to, like, build enough people to help that entire system change. And so we have to trust each other and, like you said, build each other up instead of tearing each other down.
Yeah, having that whole kind of, like, growing up, it was this weird kind of thing where you felt, like, I'm sure both of you felt this, where, like, you are in competition with other women. Mm-hmm. And then there'd be women or girls or ladies that you'd be interacting with who would, like, crap on other women.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something where it's like,
that
okay,
middle school vibe, you know?
Now I'm supposed to crap on this other lady who's succeeding or who's in competition with one of my friends. I'm supposed to crap on you.
Right.
So, like, stopping that.
Totally.
Yeah. I think it starts at a young age now, right? Like,
totally.
I think it's like, we can call it bullying, but I think there's this notion that we need to, like, get to these younger girls and say, hey, like,
just be nice.
Let's be nice, but also, like, let's talk, like, let's do some constructive criticism of why are you feeling that way?
Yeah.
I think there's a this lack of communication at a young age of what's expected as a girl, because it's I think it's pushed on us at a young age that, oh, girls are catty, girls just are gossipy. And I think it's also pushed that we are supposed to be in competition with each other, because there's, whether it's for a mate or whether it's for a job, because there's not as many women in in the office space. I think it's so, we need to start younger.
Yeah.
So then we don't continue this process over and over and over again with every upcoming generation.
Absolutely.
And it takes that leader, it takes that woman position to say, I'm going to stop and I'm going to reflect what's going on behind me and open those pathways.
I think there's an increase too in, you can call it like because of social media, you can say just because we're progressing, but this notion of like taking concepts that we've previously accepted and just like blowing them out of the water. Yeah. So a couple of years ago, that whole movement of like girls aren't bossy and instead they're mm-hmm. leaders mm-hmm. and they're able to yeah. do that, and starting that messaging earlier yeah. too, I think mm-hmm. allows people to walk into the leadership that they do have. Mm-hmm. I'm a single mom and I have three little girls. Mm-hmm. Lucky. but my oldest is 9 now and in third grade, but when she was in kindergarten, this young girl walked up to her, one of her classmates, and said, "You know, I'm prettier than you, right?" Oh. And she was just like, "I'm ill-equipped to handle this conversation," yeah, right? Yeah. She's 5. Right. But it starts so early, right? And so I am fortunate that I have the skills and language to equip her to handle situations like that and to say, first of all, it's not about that. Second of all, like, she's hurting. That's why hurt people, right? Mm-hmm. And to have her go back into that situation equipped to handle that. And how do we equip all parents to do that? Yeah. And so that, I think there's still going to be those like catty moments mm-hmm. and things like yeah. that. But how do we address that, like you said, early on mm-hmm. to say, so it's not about that. And yeah. instead it's about this. So let's right. take that passion you have yeah. and redirect it into yeah. something positive. So.
I think you're completely right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a long quote to quote to you.
Sweet.
Yeah. So Gloria Steinem once said, "The story of women's struggle for equality belongs to no single feminist, nor to any one organization, but to the collective efforts of all who care about human rights." Hmm. So do you think that Safe Place works more for women's rights, for human rights, or for both?
That is an amazing quote and right? an amazing question.
Yeah.
So one day I was having a conversation and I said this like magical sentence out of my mouth and I was like, yes. So now it's like my new thing to say, which is that Safe Place is a feminist organization uh-huh. that supports all people.
Nice.
Ooh.
Right?
That is a magical quote.
Ooh.
I'm probably going to use cards. That if I ever talk about right. Safe Place. I'd be like, here's that quote.
I was going to say, you're going to use it for yourself, right? You're like, I'm magical.
She said for everybody.
But because Safe Place often gets pigeonholed into supporting female survivors, mm-hmm. I think when people talk about domestic violence, sexual assault, they imagine females. Furthermore, they imagine heterosexual females in a relationship mm. with their married partner, who yeah. is a man, who is an abuser. And that is just not completely covering what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
And I think Safe Place has always been of a position that, like, oppression anywhere is oppression everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so we are very supportive of other movements that have at the heart of them people being treated equally, and especially if it's ending violence. Yeah. So I think sometimes people think when we offer support or we say, yes, we're in alignment with these different movements that are happening, like, stay in your lane, right? Yeah. Like, focus on domestic violence and women's rights. And I'm like, first of all, domestic violence impacts all of us.
Yeah, yeah.
And until we're talking about equality in all different ways, like the equality things we were talking about earlier, those dynamic power struggles are what is causing the domestic violence and sexual assault mm-hmm. that we're seeing. So until we're able to look at it holistically and see that everything is connected,
yeah.
We have no business doing what we're doing if we only want to talk about women's rights.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have to be able to fight for everyone so that we can do what we're going to do, but then also focus in a specialized way on our piece of doing the work.
Well, the last time you were here, mm-hmm. we had this conversation about social media as well as like things that you see in society. So mm-hmm. like you grow up, you see certain movies, mm-hmm, right. you have like this idea of what it looks like for people in situations. So like still in movies, like it is a woman who is being abused by someone who she's married to mm-hmm. for the most part. Like you right. don't see like female on female right. type violence or anybody who is a different gendered violence. Like right. you don't see that kind of stuff. Right. And you don't see it where like a man is a victim of domestic violence.
Right. And that happens all the time. It's on a rise. Men's male identified survivors are on a rise both in our community and across the country.
Yeah.
So resources for male identified survivors are challenging because mm-hmm. sometimes individuals either don't want to fund that or aren't equipped to support mm-hmm. those individuals.
Yeah.
And so we're in space where we're just being mindful as much as possible to really meet the community need. The other piece of it is that, so by definition in the law, domestic violence includes family members.
Yeah.
And that's something that people don't think about. So it can be like, I'm living with my children and my uncle is abusive. And so mm-hmm. there isn't even a romantic dynamic at all. It really is just domestic in that, the relationship. Yeah. Mm-hmm. it can also be between people who have lived together at one time. So it could be an old roommate who is abusive to me today, right?
Yeah.
And so it's important that the community understands the broad definition, so then we can start paying attention to the abuse that's happening, and then really be equipped to respond in a trauma-informed way to support that.
Yeah, and I think, too, for a lot of people, like, thinking that anyone who's male would need that kind of service mm-hmm. is still something they can't get their head wrapped around.
Totally.
But it may be that we're in a different place where anyone who's male is like, you know what? This is happening to me. I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to find services. And I'm going to try to stop it.
And it goes to the early on piece, right? Because if you're a man, all you're seeing in social media, movies, TV, is that you're supposed to be a strong figure. And if a woman, you know, I think any of us have seen some sitcom where a woman kind of hits a man's chest, right? Mm-hmm. And he just grabs her and takes it.
Mm-hmm.
In movies, that happens a lot, right? Romantic movies. And I think that there's this notion that for men, too, that they are supposed to be this strong figure, and they're not realizing that there is domestic violence towards them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that toxic masculinity is mm-hmm. is harmful in a lot of ways, but especially, like you said, it programs men into thinking that they're above being harmed, and mm-hmm. that if harm does happen, that either it's a reflection of their weakness and not being able to prevent it, or that they should be able to handle it on their own, and mm-hmm. so that cycle can continue. And then it doesn't even get to the... because domestic violence, as it's like shown in media, is really cisgender focused, and mm-hmm. so it doesn't even touch on our trans community and mm-hmm. how individuals, as they are really showing up as they truly are, that all of those lines are then blurred for what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to show up, and people's rights to access and treating them however they want to treat them because they don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of those things, I think, are so huge for us to focus on.
Yeah.
It is huge. And we do, there's this, it's that educational piece in early age that needs to just start happening now. Mm-hmm. It needed to start happening yesterday and the day before, but it's so big. So I did want to ask, I would like to know what donations do for your organization for Safe Place?
Mm-hmm. So donations keep us running.
Yeah.
Very helpful.
Super helpful. The doors are open because of donations. Ideally, in a situation with an agency like ours, you want at least a 50% level of funding that's private, because it's more predictable than public funding. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like state funds can go away.
Yeah.
Budgets can contract instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Same with federal level. And so it's important for us to depend heavily on private donations in order to just keep standard operations. In addition to that, there are some core functions to how we do business that a lot of entities don't fund. For instance, development.
Mm-hmm.
Most people won't pay for development, and development generates the funding that allows us to be sustainable.
Yeah.
That gets those match funds that we need and all of that, right? Same with volunteer coordination. Our programs are operated. We have 37 paid staff members. We have another 48 volunteers that help us do what we're doing. And so you can't just have volunteers like checking in whenever they want. You have to have coordination for that.
Yeah.
But volunteer coordination is another piece that's not generally funded. And so we have an opportunity to like really keep operations open with donations. Beyond that, we have a wish list that we're always keeping current, and it's always on our website. Those donations help us meet emergent needs for our clients. And I always tell people, you know, like you think like, oh, a $25 gas card, you know, doesn't really make a difference. But there are so many individuals in the work that we're doing that are in crisis mode. And when we're in crisis mode, it's hard for us to think about what large, big picture, thriving level goal needs do I have
mm-hmm.
when you're trying to meet emergent ones, right? It's like when you go to that meeting at lunchtime and you're starving, but you didn't bring your lunch, and then you need to focus. And they're like, what do you want to do for our strategic plan, right? And you're like, I don't know.
I'm hungry.
I'm hungry, right? Yeah. It's like, it's that. So we have clients who are trying to restabilize, who are relocating, who are planting their kids on solid ground, and all of those things are happening while they're trying to figure out, like, where's my next meal come from? Mm-hmm. Where am I staying tonight? And things like that.
That present moment of need. And totally. I think there is that, I think there is an indication that, like, oh, well, only $25, that's not going to do anything for a year. And it's like, well, no, you're right, but they can do something for that night that can keep that woman or that man or someone, those kids safe.
Yeah.
And when you're in survival mode, you make pennies stretch in ways that when you're not in survival mode, you don't think about, right? Yeah. So I can do $25 worth of gas before noon today, right?
Yeah.
But if I'm really thinking about, like, I don't know when it's going to come again, that $25 can last for a week for someone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So every single dollar that is donated to our client assistance fund is huge because it helps people literally take steps to stabilizing their lives.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So as far as any Safe Place programs you want to highlight, do you guys have anything coming up that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, so April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
Okay.
And we are doing, I believe it's April 6th. You can check our website for more details.
I'll have that link available for people.
But we are doing a benefit concert at Rhythm and Rye. It's going to be legendary. A lot of local bands who believe in the cause and want to generate funds for us will be doing a show. So we're so excited about it. We're really excited about that. We also, like I said, we just completed full board recruitment.
Yeah.
And so our board has four different teams that will be putting out different events around the community. And so if you start following us on Facebook, then you can get notifications about all of those different events.
Nice.
Lots of different, so there's like a wine event, but there's also like a pancake breakfast for families.
Sure,
like,
sure.
So we're really trying to diversify how people can show up for us and
like
making
when
it more accessible.
And who would come.
We'll have to contact you to get your stuff on our events calendar too.
Yeah, so that would be great.
Because you can put all that stuff on there.
Okay,
yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us yet again,
Course.
Sarah.
Thank you for having me.
This is awesome. Now I know why Philip was like, I love the Safe
Place
podcast. Oh, like, he is like, every time we're like, what's your favorite one? He's like, Safe Place. And I'm like, oh, well, I mean, it was really good when I listened, and now I know why. Because you're amazing. It's because you're amazing.
Way to be amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
So that was the interview with Sarah Lloyd, the executive director of Safe Place.
Which was amazing.
Yeah, so
I
what
love
was
Sarah.
Your favorite? You just love her?
Yeah, I love her. I think she's fantastic. She kept using, she was using this word legendary, but I think that she needs to, like, realize that she's actually legendary. And
wait, are you saying she doesn't realize it?
She probably does, actually, because that's how cool she is. I really enjoyed that podcast. I learned a lot, and I also just, like, love talking to women. Like, I think it's so important that we discuss more, and I just like her insights. I just liked what she talked about, and she was real about it, and the tips and things that she did to talk about an impact and the reality of what it is to be a woman in the workplace and this women's movement that's been taking place, whether it's Me Too or Time's Up or the other ones, and just saying, like, we need to keep pushing forward. And I just love that her message behind that.
Yeah, I definitely dig it when a charity comes on the program, and, like, every charity is very, like, they're professionals in what they do, right? So she's a professional in what she does, and she knows exactly what it is that she's trying to get across to people. Like, you need to understand these things, and because this is what we do. So, like, I always love it when you can just see somebody just being like, I own this moment, and this is what we do. You need to understand it. I'm going to explain it to you in the simplest, the most easy, or the most eloquent way possible.
And she's fun with it, too. Like, she's, like, what I like about her is that she's just genuine.
It
was a genuine podcast, and I just enjoyed speaking with her about different questions, and her vibe from that was just excellent. I'm just going to keep talking about how amazing she is. So there's that.
I kind of feel like in the future, I'm going to hear you say the word legendary a lot more.
Actually, I'm going to start doing that. I've already decided.
You decided as soon as you heard her say it the
first
time.
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's so cool when people say that.
I like that you just acted like a teenager, too.
I did. That's like my... That's
I hate
like,
you, Dad.
That's my go-to.
Teenager mode?
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I've been practicing pretty much my whole life. I love my dad.
Does he listen to the podcast or just your mom?
Just my mom. I think my dad pretends.
Shout out John Ferguson.
Yeah. Ooh, that's also my brother's name, too.
I know.
So both of them.
Yeah. But we're we're defeating the brother.
Yeah, my brother's podcast is not as good as our podcast.
Boom!
Oh! But he does get to drink beer on his podcast.
Who says we can't?
Government? I don't know.
Hashtag we need to make a change.
Okay. We're at a palsy.
Yeah, I will definitely, get a whack. as the fiscal and policy coordinator, I will write a beer drinking policy for podcasts. Yeah,
also maybe like we'll do an initiative. Just let it out to the Washingtonians to say all podcasts have to have beer.
Yeah, requirement.
Requirement is beer.
Yeah, at least two per person.
Minimum.
Minimum, yeah. Minimum. So,
we love women, and that's why, there we go. Let's
segue back into, we're talking about ladies and International Women's Day. So, International Women's Day, they have this hashtag this year, Press for Progress.
Oh.
So, what do you think about that?
What does that press part mean? Did it say?
Well, in the images they have on their website, they have ladies holding their hands up, like one hand or two hands, so it's
kind of
like
stop.
It is kind of like a stop gesture.
Does it
which
say?
Which is interesting.
What the?
So, it doesn't say exactly what... it says a strong call to press for progress.
Like, to press forward?
Yeah, so they say, we can't be complacent. Now more than ever, there's a strong call to action to press forward and progress gender parity.
I like that. Yeah. I mean, I think that's... I mean, it's a clever hashtag. I like the P on P. I think that... I like what the message is when you read it. At first, I wasn't quite sure. But because of the
hashtag
images,
is kind
of
like...
But that makes more sense. Because I think... With Time's Up and Me Too, right? Like, what is women continuing to keep doing? We're continuing to press forward. We're continuing to move forward. We're continuing to say, no, enough is enough. Mm-hmm. We need to step up, and we're going to keep pushing the envelope. We're going to keep doing this until the progress that we see is acceptable.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a long time, but we have to press forward.
Yeah.
So I like it. I like
press
for progress.
And it's like expecting everybody around you as well to say, okay, progress. I'm on board with you. Exactly. So I also was looking up this crazy report. They have this gender parity report. Mm. I'll make a link to it on the podcast itself, but it's 361 pages long.
Oh, what?
It's a series. So it's a 2017 report, the Global Gender Gap Report is what they called it. So they did this thing where they talked about the global gender gap. They talked about different regions, and they analyzed every country. I don't know if they analyzed every single country because there's hundreds of countries. Yeah. So exactly. So as far as a scale for the United States goes, they have this 0.4 and a 1, and it's a distribution of countries by score. So most countries are kind of like the average area.
Okay.
But the United States score out of 1 is 0.718. So we're we're ranked 49th out of 144 countries that they reviewed. So our average for the gender scale, the parity scale, as far as like the gender gap itself, we're like, I guess, a little better than average.
Okay. Repeat. Yeah. 4 points to one
point? So 0.4 to 1 full point.
0.4 to 1 full
scale.
Point. Okay, yeah. And what's the best?
1.
Okay, and we're at what?
0.7.
Oh.
Yeah, 0.718. Okay. There is this, on this particular United States graph, there is one country that looks like they're way progressive on here. And
it?
I wonder. I don't know. I'm going to have to find that out. Hmm. But it is something where, like, for us to be ranked 49th out of 144... Not too bad. And then the global gender gap score. So they have things: economic participation and opportunity, educational attainment, health and survival, political empowerment. So they have ranks for each of those for the United States. And out of those 144 countries, those four scores together were 115. So we drop.
Well, I was going to say the United States is being a global leader. We need to be a better global leader. And I think these scores represent, I mean, you're looking at what women make up half the population in the United States.
Maybe a little more.
A little more, right? And we're having issues just meeting these standards.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of work. And there's lot of work, not just on women, but when we talk to Safe Place, I mean, there has to be some men that stand up as well. And that's the only way it's going to go forward, is that people of power and people of oppression working together and meeting each other at the table and showing what we need to do to make this difference and to make it so we're all equal.
Yeah. So they're different for those four things that I said, that, you know, the economic, education, health and survival, and political empowerment. So they've got more of a breakdown for each country. And like the education thing, they rank us at number one for literacy rate, enrollment in primary education, secondary and tertiary education. So like access to education for women is extremely high. So that's incredible. But then you look at something else, like they have this breakdown of political leadership. Mm. The year the women received the right to vote was 1920. And the years since 1920 to now, 97, number of female heads of state to date, zero.
Right.
And there's going to be a lot of countries that have that still.
Yeah.
But
we are, it is surprising if you look at kind of all of our, the countries that make up like this first world, you know, kind of term, we don't have one.
Yeah.
I mean, so Washington State, we got the right to vote for women in 1910. We were earlier on, and we've had two governors that have been women.
Yeah.
I think I'm
Dixie Lee Ray and Christine Gregoire.
Mm-hmm. And I think, and I mean, that's only two out of our 126 years of
women having the right to
be in. Now, there's been other elected officials that have held, the statewide elected officials that have held in Washington State, but I do think it's important to show, like, we have so much more work to do.
Yeah.
And I think there is a barrier that we have to break, that women can be in these powerful positions and women can lead. And I think there is a thing for us internally as women and externally where we need to start uplifting each other more and saying, like, you may outshine me. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be okay, but I'm going to be part of your base. I'm going to be part of who you are as a woman, and I hope to help you grow and help you be better, because if you're better, it's going to make me better.
Exactly.
And I think that's what we just need to start working towards more.
I think it's interesting too to look at, say, your family, right? So like your great-grandmother, your grandmother, maybe they thought there'd never be a woman president, a woman senator, a woman representative, a woman leading a company. Maybe they didn't know, or they didn't believe that would happen in their lifetime. Then you think, okay, for your mother's generation, like they know that this is a change and that there are people who are accepting of women in the workplace and women having positions of power. And then it's our generation where it's like, okay, we clearly know that this is happening.
Well,
and it's
me,
not
I'm
stopping.
Like, it's 2018, we haven't had a woman president. True. And it's just what we talked with Sarah when she was like, I didn't see a principal in my school that was a leader, that was a woman, or that looked like me. And I'm like, when she said that, I was reflecting of like, well, who did I see growing up that I thought I could be? I was thankfully, you know, I had a mother who was the breadwinner in our family, who was the woman that, you know, she made more than my dad. Yeah. He decided to stay at home. And I think it was such a good reflection for myself to see, like, there's different roles in gender.
Yeah.
However, the moment I started coming into the workplace, whether it was during school or whether it was after I graduated, there was this lack of, like, leaders are only women. And I'm thankful that we actually work in a place where we do have a woman that does lead, and she does hire other women as well. And I think it's important to show that to younger girls.
Yeah,
I think younger boys too, to say like, hey, there is leaders that are opposite sex than you.
Yeah.
And if we don't do that now, it's just going to continue to progress. And what we're going to be great grandmothers and we're like, yep, still no women president. I think it's ridiculous.
See, I don't think we're going to have to experience that. Like, it's something where women who are born after us now, I think that it's just going to be an accepted thing. Like, women do these things.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you mentioned like we have a female leader, executive leader, secretary of state is a lady. And then I was thinking about when we were talking with Sarah that in our office, we have different divisions, like six of them or something?
Five, six.
So the leaders of those divisions,
there's more women.
There's a lot more women.
Yeah.
And for, say, our advisory council, we have women who are in positions of leadership as well. For charities, for departments in the state government, like, there are quite a few women leaders.
There is, and I think you're starting to recognize them more, and I think upper management is not letting, but seeing the progress that we're taking, and we're actually asking more. I think that is the bigger thing, is stepping up and saying, I want this position, I want this role, I deserve more. And it's hard. It's not easy.
It's not easy to go up
to...
It's never going to be easy either.
Yeah, a supervisor or an employer and say, I deserve more.
I deserve this. Yeah, I work for this.
I deserve this. Or, you know, I want that promotion.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to have to keep pressing for progress.
Hey. She said it. Oh, my God. She said the thing.
But it's true, though, right?
Yeah, we are.
We're going to have to keep pressing. We're going to have to keep pushing until it's like what Sarah said, is no longer like a day that it's no longer just one day.
Yeah.
It becomes every day.
Yeah.
And it's going to take time, but I think these younger girls and younger men are going to go, you're right. We do need to push forward.
Yeah. I think too, like seeing as a kid, like you have say like 5-year-old, 10-year-old, having those kids go to school and see that there's women teachers, there's male teachers, there's teachers who have different genders, different gender identities. You are going to go to places of employment, doctors. You're going to see male nurses instead of just male doctors.
Yeah.
You're going to see people who run companies who are all different genders, who are all different colors of skin, who have different religious backgrounds. You're going to see a lot more diversity.
Which is awesome, because that's what we want. We want equal for everyone. And I think this notion that, like, if someone starts raising up, then I'm raising down, and I don't understand that. Because if everyone's lifting up, then you're gonna get caught in that wave, and you're going to get moved up, too.
Yeah. We still have a few upcoming events as far as recognition events go. We'll talk about work for a moment. Get back to the actual...
Just kidding.
What our jobs are.
Yeah.
So we have a Snow King recognition event.
This Friday.
It's... on March 15th at the Shoreline Community Center, which you actually got to go to a conference at recently.
WASDOT.
Hey. So the Snow King recognition event is March 15th. Whatcom, we still don't have a date yet, but we are working with volunteers up there to get one. And we did have the recognition event for Thurston County on March 2nd. So
yes, we did.
That was amazing, was it not?
It was. It was fantastic. It's so great to see all the volunteers and everyone that showed.
And this is the first time we've ever had a recognition event reach capacity.
Yeah, it was it was big, and
we're going bigger next year.
Yeah, we have to get more space. Yeah. So we really do appreciate every volunteer and donor that came out, and anyone that listens to this podcast. We just appreciate the support that you've given to the Combined Fund Drive, and we love these recognition events to show how much we care about you. So thank you everyone for just supporting CFD and our mission, and we're hoping to get out there more and helping you in each and every way to uplift yourselves and uplift the people around you.
You're amazing.
Keep going.
No, please keep going. Yeah. So yeah, we are definitely moving from the recognition portion. We're going to be moving into campaign soon, which is crazy. I mean, it's March already, so.
Don't say that.
I'm sorry. I like this conversation.
I do too. I feel like we could talk about it for a long time.
We could forever.
But like I have to work or something, I guess.
Okay, well, I'll release you to your menial job duties. Jerrica Ferguson, what you do is important, and I'm glad that you got to be on the podcast today.
Thank you, Heather, and you know what? You matter to me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you again, everyone, for listening to the podcast, and we hope that you will join us next time.
Thank you.